families separated, detainees living in uncertainty, wondering why they're being held, where they're being held, where their loved ones are, and when they'll be released. This isn't a scene from 2018 or 2019. This is a scene from 7 decades ago, when Japanese citizens living in the U.S. and Japanese Americans were all told to report themselves for relocation during World War II. One of those relocation camps was the Crystal City internment camp, about a 2-hour drive southwest of San Antonio. Former child survivors of the Crystal City camp see dangerous parallels between the peril facing today's asylum seekers and what their families experienced in the 1940s.
I was born in the concentration camp in Topaz, Utah in 1942, and we had a questionnaire about our loyalty, and my father answered, no, no. So we went to the segregation camp in Tule Lake, and we were there from, see, 1942 till 1943. And then when my father was sent away, we stayed another year then. And then we came back down to Crystal City.
That's Kiyoshi Ina, a 77-year-old former child detainee at the Crystal City Concentration Camp, as it's called by many survivors. His sister Satsuki was born in the Tule Lake Camp in California. Their parents were American citizens, but they renounced it in protest. Kazuma Kaz Naganuma's family was living in Peru during the war. Many Japanese traveled to the South American country in the late 19th and early 20th centuries for economic opportunities. During the war, the U.S. ordered the deportation of Japanese and German nationals living in Latin American countries for, quote, hemispheric security.
We were brought here by the FBI. This is, again, at gunpoint. They gave my dad 3 days to get everything. We actually got nothing because we couldn't bring it, hardly anything. They separated my dad and my oldest brother.
The family was put on a cargo ship, and after landing in New Orleans, they were put in a train with blacked-out windows that took them to Crystal City.
When we arrived at the camp, my mom thought she was in Japan, because the people that greeted us were Japanese. It turned out that they were the bus drivers that took us to the Crystal City camp.
Naganuma, the youngest of 7 children, was only 4 months old. A group of 6 Crystal City child survivors recently joined other detention camp survivors and their descendants on a pilgrimage to the former segregation facility. The South Texas camp was the largest internment facility in the U.S. and the only one built for families. Sprawling across hundreds of acres, surrounded by barbed wire fencing and guard towers, the camp also held German and Italian detainees. All that's left of the camp is a grassy field the size of a small public park, dotted by about a half dozen concrete foundations. All that's left of the cottage houses where families lived. The land is now owned by the Crystal City Independent School District and the city itself. Reverend Roland Kobata of the Buddhist Church of San Francisco led a Japanese Buddhist meditation ceremony on the concrete-covered shallow remains of the Japanese swimming pool, where many detainees came to cool off in the South Texas heat. The former Crystal City child survivors lit incense in a purification ritual. After the ceremony, camp survivors and descendants made their way by bus to nearby Dilley. The South Texas Family Residential Center in Dilley is holding upwards of 2,400 mostly Central American asylum-seeking mothers and children. The survivors and descendants of Crystal City and other segregation camps say they're seeing history repeating itself. Michael Ishii helped organize the Crystal City pilgrimage and Dilley protest. He's a descendant of concentration camp detainees.
We are partly here not only to oppose what's happening in these camps, but also for the healing of our people who were also incarcerated. So it's important for us to be here. We had to be here today.
Ishii addressed over 100 protesters who lined a stretch of Texas State Highway 85 just outside the Dilley detention facility. Thousands of colorful origami paper cranes fluttered in the March winds along the wire fencing and barbed wire that surrounds the Dilley facility. The cranes were folded, linked into chains, and mailed from all across the U.S., including San Quentin Prison.
In our culture, the crane is a creature of transformation. And we asked for 10,000 cranes because in traditional culture, the 10,000 things means more than you can count. Well, we received over 25,000 cranes.
In what was mostly a symbolic gesture, Ishii addressed the women and children inside the detention center.
We have not forgotten you. We think of you every day. We are fighting for you here, and we are fighting for you back home. And we will come back, and we will bring more people.
Right.
Yes. Do not lose heart.
Say it loud, say it clear. Immigrants are welcome here.
Say it loud, say it clear. Immigrants are welcome.
The protest featured chants, music in the form of traditional taiko drums, and proclamations of rage and hope. At the end of the protest, Crystal City survivor Satsuki Ina invited the crowd to sing along to the traditional children's song, Kutsuganaru, which roughly translates to Our Shoes Ring. It was a song Japanese parents sang to their children in the camps. The protesters plan to return in November.
Okay, one more time, but let's pick up the beat.
Tonight, no.